for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM, streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Toyota Sound, People's Exchange Bank, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to PCSN Live here on WSKV as we're doing a little double duty tonight. We're actually watching the homecoming parade as they're going by the studio as we are on the air. Again, I didn't think it was supposed to start till 6, but they started going past us by about 10 minutes
about
before.
10 minutes, yeah, you're so, exactly right.
So a quick parade, homecoming parade. So, again, this is homecoming week here at Powell County High School, and it has been already been a busy week for our sports teams. 5 home events, and we are covering all of them.
Yeah, and still have more to go. Tomorrow night, boys soccer match. It will be senior night. We'll recognize those seniors. And then Friday night, homecoming football game. The Powell County Pirates playing host to Fairview.
You know, I think while all these teams, I don't really know if they scheduled it this way or not. I don't think they did, thinking it's homecoming week. Normally that is kind of geared to football. But, you know, it would have been really nice if during each one of these activities, we do something for homecoming at all these home events this week. I mean, I know maybe it wasn't planned, but dang, what an opportunity to do something for homecoming.
True.
All week long. Yeah, you're going to have 2 volleyball games. You're going to have 2 boys soccer games. No girls.
No, they were originally scheduled for tomorrow night, but then that canceled.
So, but again, it would have been a really good opportunity for all of our sports teams to do well. And also, we had the golf region was yesterday as well. We'll talk about that in a moment. But again, we'll go ahead and get started with. Start with boys soccer, which we covered on
Tuesday. Yeah, I know. Anymore, everything seems to run together, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to keep up with where we even are in many respects.
And where we're going.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, where we are and where we're going. The boys did play a soccer match last night. They played host to the Bath County Wildcats. A nice win for Powell County. They ended up winning 6-2 was the final score. That improves their record to 9-3-3. Out of the 15 games played. So a nice comeback win in some respects. And what I mean by that is the last 2 matches they had lost, they were 8-1-3.
Right.
Lost to Johnson Central 1-0, lost to Berea 1-0. So the fact they were able to come back last night, score those 6 goals, impressive. They really did a nice job both offensively and defensively. Kyle Nickel ended up getting 2 goals. He's only played a couple of weeks, maybe 3 at the most at this point.
And already starting in the lineup. So
yeah.
And really, he looked solid as a soccer player just starting out. I don't know if he even played when he was younger.
I don't think so, not that I'm aware of.
Me either, but, I mean, it's kind of remarkable that kid that just come out a couple of weeks later and his ball-handling drills – skills were good. He's playing one of the main positions as far as scoring, and I thought he did relatively well, for especially with lack of playing time.
Agreed, and we kind of talked about him specifically even off the air last night, thinking, okay, we recognize he's an athlete, but he has good footwork, and basically it was like, okay, well, he plays second base in baseball in addition to pitching, thinking, okay, well, good footwork there. Plays basketball. You know, crossover dribbles, you know. So, I mean, he has the skill set that he needs. And to be able to come out and get 2 goals last night, again, impressive, especially the way that he ended up getting them as well.
It just goes to show you that if you are athletic, you can probably conquer any sport with enough time practicing.
Right. Yeah, you're exactly right. So not only did Kyle get those 2 goals, but Brennan Bush ended up getting 2 goals. We're not necessarily seeing him this season get goals.
Not like that last night.
It was
totally like a different alignment that Bernie put out there. I don't know if there's a reason for it, but Brennan played solid.
He did.
I mean, to me, you got Brennan and Kyle, 2 kind of newcomers to the sport, both seniors, played really above their heads as far as where they probably should be skill-wise.
Right.
I'm just telling you, I think it's really added to what was already a good soccer team to now maybe they can be really, really good. I don't know what the answers are, but they've been impressive so far.
Yeah, that they definitely have. So not only did Kyle get two, Brennan Bush got two. Carter Poe finally up getting a goal. He had so many opportunities to get those goals. Glad at least he was able to get one. Yeah. Would have liked to have seen him gotten more, but still he stayed with it. Garrett Gillespie ended up getting a goal. Axel Vasquez had a couple of assists. Really does a nice job as far as being that midfielder where he sets people up. He made some excellent passes last night. Again, it could have easily been 10-3, yeah, probably. But the goalkeeper for them, Coyle was his name, he ended up doing a really nice job to limit the Pirates really to just six goals.
Yeah, I think that Vasquez and Crow really kind of set the tempo for this team. Those two kids really handle the ball well, really pass it well, and they kind of distribute it where it needs to go, and then the other guys kind of get the rewards for that. You know, we had more offsides penalties last night than stop saying penalties. Brian said they're not really penalties. They're, I don't know what they are. They're violations or something.
Yeah, violation. Yeah.
So, but we had more offsides violations last night than I have seen us have this year. So whether Bath County was just kind of holding back a little bit or we were just getting a little anxious or maybe both, we weren't as disciplined, I don't think, as we had been in those earlier matches. But you also are playing two guys in the up position that normally haven't played there this year.
Right. I would agree with that. I think that they were kind of consistent as far as, like, especially defensively. I felt like defensively we were solid, yes. But then offensively, those opportunities, I agree with you as far as the offsides. We probably had five, maybe six.
And maybe and one that probably wasn't called that could have been.
True. And at that point, that's probably the most that we've seen collectively
total.
The whole season.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we've done quite a few of their games. But for them to kind of commit that, and as you said, give credit to Bath County in some respects, right? If I'm a defender, I'm holding back on you as you're taking off running and quick offsides, and we're going to get the ball back.
If I know you're sprinting, if I just hold up a little bit, you run by me, and the ball is then kicked, it's going to be a turnover. But you have to have a lot of faith in the officials that are seeing that to let it go, because a couple of those violations were really close. They were within a couple yards of being good or not, and I don't think any of the calls were bad calls. I think they nailed them all, and you have to credit the officials sometime for doing that. So, again, give credit to Bath County. And their defense bothered Powell County in toward the goal. Again, like you said, we probably had 25 shots on goal, and they had kids that were just kind of getting in our way all the time, which is what you're supposed to do.
Right.
But they did a pretty good job solidly all night long of getting in the box and really kind of stopping what we were trying to do.
Yeah, basically putting a body on someone, and or we would get it in the box and all of a sudden just our footwork was not good and we would miss the shot that we could have taken, probably should have taken. But again, sometimes your feet get twisted up, and then the defense of them stepping right in the way and clearing things out.
Well, it's all about timing. I mean, you get the bad bounce at the wrong time when you're already in motion of kicking, you're not going to get a redo. So
right.
Those opportunities really come seldom and far between. When you do get those, you really have to take advantage of controlling the ball. Your passers have to control the way the pass is made. And it just takes a whole teamwork to be able to get it done where it's efficient for the team. And I just like the way this team's playing, and I really, you know, wonder about how they're going to do in the region. Again, this is a team that didn't make the region last year, and I thought they were going to be on a definite rebuild this year. But, man, they've come out and really have far exceeded my expectations of what this boys team has done.
I would agree. Yeah, I definitely think not really knowing how they would be, because they lost quite a few players last year, but at the same time,
had enough coming
back. But then when you throw in Kyle Nickel, Brennan Bush, you know, kind of these unknown factors and who have come in and really produced, even Jackson Weddington, the goalkeeper, freshman, had 11 saves last night, gave up only two goals.
Yeah, Bryson Edwards before that was in the goal, and he wasn't giving up anything.
Yeah.
So, really, our goalies are Well, Weddington is more experienced than Edwards. Edwards is just really athletic, but Weddington is also very athletic. I'd like to see maybe him a chance with the ball out in one of those positions where you kind of control the game a little bit more, but this is the position that Bernie wants him in, and Bernie's right now doing a pretty good job making the calls.
Yes, he is, and I'll kind of go to the Johnson-Citron game real quick. They played that one. The Pike County Pirates did. Ended up losing that match 1-0, but the Pirates only had two shots on goal based on the stats that we're seeing. Again, we weren't necessarily at that game.
Two shots? But only two.
There were only two saves.
Wow.
So at that point, you know, they shut us down, which means they played strong defense, and we didn't get a lot of looks on shots on goal because if there's only two shots on the goalkeeper and he makes both of those saves, and, of course, Johnson Central won 1-0. At that point, it must have been a huge defensive battle back and forth, maybe a lot in the midfield.
That's what I was getting ready to say, probably a lot in the midfield because the game down here, it was a lot in the midfield. I don't think really either team had a tremendous amount of shots on goal the first time
going back to that one, yeah.
I think it was 3-3, right? But it was 3-3? Is that the score?
Let me go back and look at that one real quick. It was 3-3, yes.
And that was a very – we saw then that Johnson Central was very physical, didn't care to push you around. They're a nice team, so I don't think that loss was terribly unexpected. I mean, you're going to their field. You're playing on I would assume it was probably a turf field there at Johnson Central. And you play Berea, which Berea in the past has also been strong. And they play in a pretty tough region. The record doesn't indicate that they're very good. But
1-7-1, and the one win was against the Pirates, 1-0.
But the seven they have played may be stronger competition than what the Pirates are seeing. I'm not sure.
Southern, Madison Central, Model, South Laurel.
Well, but all those teams are usually pretty solid in soccer, though, right?
They were losing, 3-2, 3-1. You know, their biggest loss was to Model, 7-2. But basically, every one of them,
in the game.
3-0, 3-2, 1-0. They were very close. But still, to be 0-7-1, and then all of a sudden to get a win against the Pirates, I would have liked to have, kind of get into Bernie's head, Bernie Vasquez, the head coach, just kind of analyze that game. What kind of did take place? Did our team not necessarily show up? Was Berea that much more aggressive defensively? We couldn't catch any breaks. Maybe we had a lot of offsides. Just to kind of analyze that, especially with the team 0-7-1, I get that it could be tougher competition, but I feel like that our team can play with any number of teams, right, competitively.
I don't doubt our team at all. I just think that when I told you they play Berea, usually –
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Our conversation was usually they're pretty stout. I didn't realize they hadn't won a game
down
this year.
Right.
But, 0-7 and competitive is different than 0-7 and non-competitive.
True.
So,
yes.
I mean, they have been competitive 0-7, so that may have a little bit more merit than a non-competitive 0-7. But I know you all know, if you're listening to a sports program, you know what we're talking about.
Right. So. With that being said, again, the Pirates, so they got a nice win last night, again, after those back-to-back losses. That was actually the first time the Pirates had lost two in a row. They've had some draws, some ties, but still, first time they lost back-to-back matches, 1-0-1-0. But then again, come back last night against Bath County, get the win 6-2. They'll play Buckhorn coming up tomorrow night. It says a scheduled 6 o'clock start, but it's 6:45 to 7-ish.
I guess they didn't change the time. Actually, that was
before the girls
canceled. That was a 6 o'clock start. They were going to do senior night at 5:45. That has been moved back an hour. Senior night will be at 6:45. Game time is at 7. So if you're checking out the website, they just haven't made that adjustment.
Updated it. So. Correct. Now Buckhorn coming in. They're 0-11 on the season. 0-11-0. They've been beat pretty handily by most teams. The Pirates actually defeated them back on August the 17th, 10-0. So almost expect that same type. They've lost, 10-0, 7-0, 10-0 again, 12-0, 14-0. The only one that they ended up winning was Knott County Central, and we The Pirates had Knott County Central, new startup
team.
So, you know, you almost expect that from a team that's already been out on the pitch for a while. But
and, you know, Buckhorn, I'm not knocking Buckhorn, but they struggle, seem like, in almost every sport except basketball. They usually are very, very competitive in basketball. I think that's one sport they really, kind of those kids really care about. But these are new sports even for Buckhorn. Now, I'm not saying in 10 years they're going to be pretty good. That's all possible. But again, it should be an easy home or an easier senior night and homecoming week win for the Pirates. But games played on the field on game night, so you never can tell.
And anything's possible. Again, even going back to the Berea game, they were 0-7-1. You can't overlook anybody on any given night.
Well, now Bernie told me before they played that game, and he did tell me he was concerned about Berea. So though he did tell me that, I guess on the day before they played, and I said, well, they'd have won a game. He said no. They're better than what the record indicates. He said, I am concerned. Now, that being said, and if that doesn't mean his kids are concerned. His kids may look at the scoreboard and say, okay, they're not very good. We're going into this. It's been an easy win for us. Coach can't always control how his kids think, but I know a lot of players look at those records and easy win and relax.
Well, we've talked about that even in basketball.
You just can't do it.
Right? Even in basketball, you know, you think, oh, just because I see so-and-so is on the jersey, oh, we've got this. And next thing you know, those teams are showing up to play because they're playing for pride.
Yeah, what you can't do in any competition is play down to your competition. If you want to establish yourself as a good team, you have to beat people. And I don't mean that to be rude or not courteous, but, I mean, if you want to be the best, you got to beat people and let people understand that, okay, it has to go through us. We're going to take every game serious, and we're going to put it on you when we play. Then you've arrived, and then you earn the respect. That's just kind of, I mean, you see a lot of the winning teams in this region, that's their mindset when they step on a field.
Yeah, you can't give anybody an opportunity to change their mindset and all of a sudden gain that confidence. Next thing you know, that momentum can shift. The next thing you know, they're like, hey, we can compete with whichever team, and therefore sometimes you get caught off guard and end up with that loss.
It's just the way it is. So boys soccer will be again tomorrow night. What's after that for the
boys? Then they play Buckhorn tomorrow night at home, and then they're away on the 26th at Estill County. That's a boys-girls doubleheader, a big district matchup. And then they'll be at home on the 28th. The Pirates will play Knott County Central, which I'm kind of surprised because that will mean we're actually having Knott County Central at home twice. Not so sure why we would not be traveling there unless it's some kind of mistake. And then we actually end the regular season on the 30th. That's actually a Saturday.
I was going to say
at Paris.
I think that the tournament starts that
October the 2nd and 3rd.
Yes, and that's going to be played
at Estill County.
That's what I was
District
I didn't
tournament
say it. I was,
and regional both. Tournament. Yes, and of course they have a turf field.
That's required for the host.
Yes, and to me, obviously the girls played Perry County Central on a turf field. Advantage to the girls, they actually ended up winning that match 4-1. So that's well. I'm not so sure that the boys have played on a turf field yet.
Well, my whole question earlier, if Johnson Central and Berea both play on turf, and I don't know that, but if they do, could that be a difference maker in the scores? And then if they do, that's going to be a concern when you go play Estill County.
Correct. Because as we know, that ball bounces totally different coming off an artificial turf field.
And it's going to be larger than our field because ours is a touch smaller than what
not regulation
it's supposed to be.
Size right
it's
to
just
host
a touch smaller not a lot, but it's different.
It's enough. It's probably, you know, 5 yards on either side,
maybe,
you know. Yeah, probably, you know,
close. You can't go
close
too
enough
close to the track. We have to stop at some point, right?
So, right, yeah,
yeah. And it the way we run the sides, I think it can make a huge difference for your timing and your passing game. And if you get really good on grass, then you have to play everything on turf. You better schedule some turf opponents during the season, so
yes,
try to get some experience.
You're exactly right. So, again, so they'll be home with Buckhorn, on the road at Estill, at home against Knott County Central, and then away at Paris to end the regular season.
So a couple of weeks left of boys soccer. If you want to support that team, get out there and do it as often as you can. We've been having some pretty good crowds down there,
yeah.
So it looks like it's becoming a fairly popular sport, and I think that's a good thing for boys soccer and for girls soccer. We'll talk about that in a minute, but it's a good start for the program. So we'll take a break here, come back and talk about girls soccer here on PCSN Live.
What if the music stopped? If the familiar voices were silenced? If there were no breaking news updates? What if your companion and connection to your community came with a monthly fee? Don't worry, we're free local radio with you wherever you go. Celebrating 100 years and looking forward to the next 100. We are broadcasters. Text radio to 52886 and let Congress know you depend on your local TV and radio stations. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Protect Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Fowl County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
With Whitaker Bank's new home equity line of credit, qualified applicants can borrow up to 90% of their home's value with no closing costs. With Whitaker Bank's home equity line of credit, you only pay back 1% of your balance monthly, and you process your withdrawals with Whitaker Electronic Banking. Stop by Whitaker Bank and see how our new home equity line of credit can help you. Whitaker Bank proudly supports your Powell County Pirates. Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender.
Count on Clark Regional Medical Center for quality health care close to home. It's why we're here, providing compassionate, personalized care whenever you may need it, so you, your family, and our community can all thrive. Because no matter where you are in life, nothing is more important than your health. Clark Regional Medical Center, from the routine to the unforeseen. Count on us. Learn more at clarkregional.org.
And welcome back, as our technical stuff is a little off here tonight, as David's kind of working on that. But we were switching gears to Powell County girls soccer team, coached by Victoria Spencer. Lady Pirates coming in with a record of 7-6-1 as their last outing, which was on Monday. They were away at Perry County Central, ended up getting a nice win. 4-1 was the final score for the Lady Pirates. They ended up defeating Perry Central 10-0 here at home. So that was nice to see the Lady Pirates get two wins against Perry Central, who's really been one of those dominant teams in the region over the last however many years at this point. So again, it was nice to see them get that win. And then prior to that, the Lady Pirates ended up losing to South Laurel. 6-1 was the final. And then the week prior, the Lady Pirates ended up winning 10-0. Over Menifee County. That game was on the road as well. So the Lady Pirates really have done a nice job getting the win at Perry Central for the Lady Pirates. Again, that 7-6-1. They had traveled the week prior to Tennessee at the around the 9th and the 10th of the month to Gatlinburg, and ended up going 1-2 in that particular outing, but nonetheless, good experience for them to get some different competition, especially to be able to travel. But they ended that particular road trip with an 8-2 win, and then faced South Laurel. South Laurel, one of those teams that has been pretty solid. They're 9-3 on the season. Are the Lady Cardinals of South Laurel? So they ended up defeating the Lady Pirates again 6-1. Now for Powell County, they were scheduled to play Bath County tomorrow night. Again, that game has been canceled. So the next match for the Lady Pirates will be at home against West Carter. That's on the 23rd. And then on the 26th, they'll be at Estill County again, boys-girls doubleheader. And then they'll end on the 28th at home against Knott County Central. That will also be a doubleheader, boys-girls doubleheader match. The girls will be having the early start in both of these matches against Knott Central and Estill County in those doubleheaders.
So where do you say the West Carter game was? Here?
The West Carter game is at home, yes.
Well, I tell you what, this is skipping a little bit, but when you're saying we have a soccer game on Saturday and the volleyball tournament for the girls is Saturday, that's six consecutive days Powell County Athletics is going to be at home. I'm not sure that's ever happened before.
It's good. I don't.
I'm just throwing it out there because I don't know if this ever happened. We're on six consecutive nights. There's home activities for different sports teams, all at home.
And actually, it was just about that way last week.
Yeah, it was. Right? But I mean, that's something that just hit me. I'm sorry, I had to cut in.
Well, no. I mean, on one hand, though, I mean that's 11 games in 10 days, basically.
It's a lot of,
you know, because you've got some action. You've got the girls volleyball had just played. They're playing right back again.
Yeah, they play two before Saturday. They'll play at least three.
Yes. Yeah. And again, then you look at boys soccer. Yeah. Again, they played Tuesday. They'll play Thursday. Again, too, I mean, just one day break. It's the conditioning of these student athletes, impressive in many respects, right? Especially your soccer players. Nothing against anybody else, even your football players for that matter. But yet your soccer players, again, they're running several miles throughout any given match. The temperature is a little bit better than they have been, but still, nonetheless, the humidity is still kind of around.
The sun's hot.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that, obviously, people make fun of me for that saying that, but we've got a hot sun right now. It's not like it's 76, but it feels warm.
Yeah.
Now, when it gets to 52, when the sun goes down, it gets cool real fast. So, really good football weather for Friday night, 7:30, you got about another half an hour. But with the start times that they have, you could run into a little bit of a heat, not a heat issue on Saturday, I wouldn't think. But 65, 70 and sunny is supposed to be pretty again, I think, on Saturday, all week this week. When have we had a prettier week to play either? I mean, just...
Oh, it's been beautiful.
Strange.
Right,
strange.
Yeah, it really has. It's been absolutely amazing. It's been great. And
anyway,
even,
back to... Well, I'm sorry, I'll let you get back to the girls' soccer, but I just kind of thought that odd that we have six consecutive days with home sporting events.
Right, and I will say this as well, that it's starting to get a little darker earlier, around that 8 o'clock time period now, mm-hmm. So the time... The amount of sunlight that we actually have is kind of getting backed up a little bit.
Yeah,
so.
And we are fortunate here because if you are you're playing soccer or football, the sun does set in our west, and we do have a little bit more daylight than if you're like in my house. In my house, it gets dark.
Right.
We lose the sun at 4:30. So, you know, when you're down here, you get a little bit more sun down in the city. But, you know, it's just kind of... I don't know, it's just kind of neat. It's real pretty when you play here. You look out, usually got a good sunset out to the west beyond the trees. If you could cut those trees down, that'd be a beautiful scene if we could just, I don't know if that's a good thing to cut them down or not. But
and a fence.
We need a fence, the trees, we need a fence, but
right.
What a view we would have.
You're exactly right. So the Lady Pirates, again, 7-6-1. They're 2-1 in region, 0-1 in district play, as Estill County leading the way as they are 1-0 in district play. Again, those two teams will face off on the 26th over at Estill County. In the meantime, Lady Pirates are going to have a pretty good break. I mean, the 18th was the last game that they had. That was Monday, and they won't play again until the 23rd against West Carter, and that's an 11 a.m. scheduled start.
After homecoming, trap game, in my opinion.
Oh, sure.
Homecoming dance after the game on Friday, soccer game. Saturday morning, 11 o'clock, kids got to get back. Listen, our kids are good kids. I mean, I don't think they'll get caught up into that. But, you know, there's a lot of times, you know, if you have dances the night before an event, your kids just don't seem to perform as well. And whether they stay out to 1 or 2 o'clock, I mean, I don't know what their plans are. But
it's still going to make for a long Friday.
Yes.
Right? You know, school, and then obviously you're getting ready for
getting
whatever.
Homecoming, regardless.
Right, before the football game, and then at that point, the dance, that's going to be a busy day and busy night. You don't have to turn around and be up early, and now you've got a soccer match at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
Going into next year, somebody needs to kind of try and...
Well, like I said, I don't think necessarily like the coaches... don't necessarily realize when homecoming week falls all the time.
That needs to be settled fairly early, though, right?
Well,
let's pick.
It's always been a little, I don't know, a pet peeve of mine. We do our scheduling. I'm doing my softball schedule. My schedule is pretty much done. I still don't know the exact dates of prom. I'm trying to find out all the trips for Science Ecology, FBLA, FCCLA. You got all the trips coming in the spring, trying to figure out where everything is. You got the prom week. You've got spring break. You've got all these different things going on in the spring that you need to miss. Yet again, we need to play as often as we can. So it's kind of a – sometimes you just can't help but to play and schedule games and then cancel them if you have to. But
right. Well, just to keep things intact, right?
Yeah,
because obviously at that point, you don't want to – we've talked about this time and time again, that, you know, the more days you miss, whether it's taking off practice, missing games, that kind of thing, then the tougher it becomes for your teams to bounce back, and yet alone to be throwing in whether it's homecoming activities, whether it's spring break, whether it's trips, where all of a sudden you've got these student-athletes who were students first. And at that point, you know, now they're off to a particular conference. Maybe they're showing at a state conference or even a national conference where, again, they're traveling. Now you're having to find someone, oh, okay, now my starting player is going to be out. Now I'm going to have to rotate my lineup, right, and kind of tweak it a little bit in order to insert somebody else in that position.
Well, like I said, it's cause soccer will probably do their schedule as soon as season's over with. They'll probably do their schedule getting ready for next year. So if there's not a calendar already in place for huge events, and I know that's a load to put on a principal or assistant principal,
sure,
or someone, but us coaches, we have to look at nothing, a blank calendar and schedule, and all of a sudden you throw this event on us, and I'm thinking, okay, like this week, I don't think really they probably knew it was homecoming week because they probably didn't go to the football
Agreed.
Coach.
Sure.
Because he probably didn't make the decision by himself either. So this is sometimes taken away by maybe some administrators or whatever and set this as the date. And we just happen to have six consecutive athletic dates, which would be perfect if you're planning on having something for homecoming at your events. That'd be
right.
Really cool. But I don't really think that has entered the minds of a lot of the coaches, and wouldn't have entered my mind if I'd been just worried about my schedule. So I don't know. It's just, I'm sorry. I got off timing with the girls.
Well, on one hand, whether it's spring break or even let's say fall break, right? Now all of a sudden, Okay, fall break's coming up. Well, we have a football game that Friday night. Even though we're off that Monday, now all of a sudden you've got those players potentially. I realize that I think the regional tournament will have wrapped up the week of, I believe, fall break. But at the same time, now when does the state tournament come into play? Right now, again, we get that fall break. But
Here's the problem with the way that, and again, I'm taking time away from my kids, but the KHSA comes out with a calendar. When you have a window to play, window normally starts from like Saturday to Saturday for your district events to get in, and then Saturday to Saturday for your regional events to get in. And then you get kind of like, why can't we have played a couple extra games versus going to that window? It's kind of a, I don't know. I wish we had a more narrow window. Give us the dates.
Right.
Tell us when we're playing. I mean, I know when you're playing outside, you can't really always depend on the weather to be great. But for like soccer, you're not going to cancel a lot of games because of turf. That's where they're playing on the regional and district tournaments. You're not going to play football. A lot of those, not a lot of them are on turf. You play on a regular field, I guess it's the same. But weather still doesn't really matter unless it's lightning, and normally you don't have a lot of lightning late fall.
Right.
So there's not a lot of concerns about cancellations for games in the fall season, but just a big window. You got scattered regional and state tournaments. You know, volleyball, I guess golf will be first, then soccer, then volleyball, then cross country, then football. So you got five staggered weeks of the ends of seasons for all those programs, and then there's other programs too I'm not even talking about. I'm not sure what the bass goes on to spring, so it's a whole different
team is kind of in their own little world because they almost basically go year round other than the winter months.
But it's just a sports schedule when you've got now this many athletic teams, and we're going to add more later. Whew, it gets busy. It gets really busy.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Facilities that, you know, I walked up there and cringe every time I see practice going on the softball field, thinking, we need to take care of our right field. It's horrible. It's in horrible shape. I know why. But then again, when I look back like last night, we was at the soccer game, and girls are practicing on the softball field. There's middle school practice after high school practice on the first secondary field. And on the lower field, you got elementary practice going on. There's no other facilities where our kids can practice.
Right.
And when you look at it that way, it's like, okay, use it. But at some point, we've got to fix what damage gets done. You know, it's we just need a lot of facilities for our kids to play and or practice on when we really don't have here.
And fortunately, at least for soccer, as far as the younger kids, at least there's, you know.
It's a smaller field, but it's a field, right?
Yeah, the Stanton City Park, City of Stanton's done a really nice job of improving things at the city park to create more opportunities for our younger kids.
Local tax dollars at work, right?
Yes, that's good to see.
So that's a good thing. Anyway, back to the girls. Now, I will say this. The record is what it is. This is a team that I would have to say, record-wise, is underperforming from what our expectations were. But they've set a pretty tough schedule for themselves. I'll give them that. But I thought this team would be far better than 8-7 or one game over 500 at this point in the season.
And obviously their arch nemesis, Estill, is going to be standing in their way of winning that district title and or even a regional title. Everybody else is, you know, Hazard is 0-8-1, Perry Central 6-6-1, Letcher Central 6-7, Powell County 7-6-1, and Estill at 10-5.
I just have to think that Powell Estill are now the beacons of the 14th in soccer. I think they've kind of, maybe since we beat Perry twice, you got to think that maybe it's Estill 1-2, Letcher, Perry, whoever, 3-4, and then 5. But I have to think it's that way, and obviously the winner draws opposite of the other team. So you're looking for the rematch. Look for a possibility of playing four times in the same season for Pal Estill, and that just excludes if you have to mix it up in a two-way.
But, right, and it's actually, as we mentioned, the district and regional tournament over at Estill. So obviously a home field advantage for them just based on the fact that you know your field, you know your turf, you know how the ball bounces. We'll see how the Lady Pirates do their next outing again, which will be West Carter on Saturday, but then more importantly, that Estill County doubleheader.
And that will be covered here on WSKV with the NFHS app. I'm not sure what else is going on that night. Probably radio also, I would think.
Yes, I would agree with that, yes.
So, again, I love our girls soccer team. I just think you just got to get over that hump, get some more wins, ladies. So we'll take a break and hopefully figure this out here, what we're going to do. But the next one looks good. Back in a moment here on PCSN Live.
Pickup Country 104.9, serving Betaville, Sharpsburg, Judy, Wellington, Ford, Waco, Hazel Green, Slade, and Vincent. Thanks for listening local and around the world at WSKVFM.com.
Since opening in 1972, Citizens Guarantee Bank has been there to help our customers enhance their lives and achieve their dreams. With 7 locations across Central and Eastern Kentucky today, we are celebrating 50 years of being there for the communities we call home. Citizens Guarantee Bank is now CG Bank. New name, same commitment to being there for our neighbors. CG Bank, we've been there for that. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
New driveway, parking lot, or large aggregate need? Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in all things crushed aggregate. They provide expert delivery and more, depending on size of application. Call Natural Bridgestone today at 606-663-2815 or Tipton Ridge Quarry at 606-663-2815. 763-4881. Or find out more information at HinkleContracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine.
And welcome back to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. This is Dave Falter along with Ken Simon. And we're going to shift gears again back to
football.
Football. And by the way, the soccer district dates are the same as
volleyball.
The soccer, I'm saying the girls' soccer are the same as boys' soccer dates.
Yes.
Second through the window is the same.
Correct. Yes, that's exactly right. So the Powell County Football Pirates, they have a record of 0-4 on the season. They traveled to West Carter this past Friday. Very first play, the kickoff from West Carter, onside kick was recovered by them. Three plays later, they go in for a score. Powell County does answer, though, and marches down the field. At that point, it was 7-6, and Dave and I both kind of thought, okay, well, it's going to be that kind of football game. Maybe whoever has the last possession will end up winning. But basically, the rest of the way, it was all West Carter as they ended up winning 50-20, the worst defeat of the Pirates on the season. They lost to Western Hills by 2, lost to Floyd Central by 14, lost to Pike County Central by 3, and again lost to West Carter by 30 points. It's unfortunate. A lot of injuries ended up happening in that game against West Carter. Not quite sure how that plays out this upcoming week. We do know that a couple of players more than likely will not be playing. Landon Carroll will be out. Tyson Edwards will likely be out. Preston Spangler, we've not seen him in a couple of weeks. Not sure what his status will be coming up on Friday night. But it is homecoming as the Fairview team comes in with a record of 1-4 on the season. Pirates are a 3A team. The Eagles of Fairview are a 1A team. Again, they've lost pretty handily when they have lost. Their last win was against Green or Franklin Furnace in Ohio. So they ended up losing big to Morgan, to Betsy Lane, to Caverna, and to Bath County, where their opponents on the season. So what are the Pirates going to have this week? Not quite sure. Even this past week, Aiden Larrison ended up going down. We had another backup quarterback to come in. Didn't do a bad job, but at the same time, at this point, some injuries starting to play a factor for the Pirates. Let's hope that they can bounce back and get a win because the following week they'll travel to Magoffin County. Magoffin County down this year as well. I think they're 1-3 or 1-4 on the season. So if the Pirates could get a win against Fairview this Friday night, then go on the road to Magoffin County, you know, maybe at that point it builds a little momentum for this Pirate team and they can, kind of get some wins underneath their belt. They've been close in several games with the exception of the West Carter game, but they continue to hurt themselves with penalties, offsides, false starts. It really kind of piled up this past week against West Carter, but prior to that, again, all of a sudden you have it, you know, third down and 2, and all of a sudden you get a false start. Now all of a sudden you're facing third down and 7. It makes it a little bit tougher. They did open things up a little bit this past week. A couple of more passing plays than we normally see. But the Pirates just going to have to find a way to clean up the game basically on offense and defense.
I tell you, it's this team is better than what I think they've played. The game at West Carter was just kind of a punch in the nose.
Yeah, I mean, West Carter was definitely a better team than based on their record.
Yeah, and that's one of those, like we're talking about with the Brea earlier, but West Carter was It was their homecoming night, and man, did the folks turn out for that game. The crowd was huge.
Yeah.
A lot of activities going on at the game, it seemed like, and they were just really fired up for the game. And we saw, I think, what's going to be a really good young quarterback come out of Eastern Kentucky. Got a great arm. Everything he threw was with a big spiral on it. I mean, it was just perfect. He would make some really nice throws. The Powell County has got to do a little, few things differently. One, just we still say discipline. Can't turn the ball over. That's just the small things. Just the absence of a kicking game just kills field position. There are so many flaws right now going forward, and with the injuries that you have. Again, we've been out with your leading rusher going into the season is now your quarterback. Your second lead rusher going into the season has been out 2 weeks with an ankle injury. Your quarterback now, which was your running back, he has an ankle injury. You get to see whether he's going to be there on Friday. We've got our 3 and 4 depth running backs. And, you know, TJ Sparks did a good job. That's all right, is it?
Strange.
Yeah. Whew, I don't know where I got that. But TJ did a really good job when he came in as the quarterback.
Yeah, spot. He really did.
And I kind of alluded to maybe you put DJ in at quarterback, and you put Larson. If Spangler's not back, maybe you put Larson back in his normal position. But then if he's still kind of gimped up with his ankle injury, then we'll have to see where he is. It's just going to be a hit and miss show. This should be a week where Powell County gets a victory. But again, you don't play him on paper; you play him on the turf, and let's see where it goes.
Yeah, and with the injuries, obviously, if you have a player that you can hold out, not you don't want to win, but again, the following week, starting with McGoffin, you're almost tempted to set some of those players out to make sure that they come back healthy before you get into district play. Again, it is a fine line, right? Whether or not, again, I'm going to take that chance and put somebody in, or you know what, I'm going to give you another week.
I get both scenarios as a fan and as a player. I got to have a victory this week, first and foremost. And we talked about this on the air, on a drive. The schedule going forward is tougher than it has been.
Yes.
That being said, it's going to the games they have left. You're not going to go down that list and find a game where we're taking a break and it's an easy week.
No, McGoffin, again, that's away. Essel at home. Essel's been solid.
Really good, yeah.
Lawrence County sitting there like 4-1, I believe, 3-1, maybe 4-1 on the season. They're up there. Belfry's like 3-2, but it's Belfry.
It's Belfry.
You know, and then Betsy Lane, I'm not quite sure where.
They were undefeated. You looked at it the other night, 5-0.
Betsy Lane, I mean, pull them up actually real quick here again. Well, where are you at, Betsy Lane? Yeah, they are 5-0.
Yeah, you called that up last week on the way home, and we're talking about the upcoming schedule, and again, we do a lot of this prep work in the car going to games, but you know, when you're looking at that kind of a schedule going forward, if you don't win this week, you might not get a win. I mean, and I'm not.
It's only going to get tougher, as you said.
I'm not going to say this season's over with by any stretch of imagination, but when I look it down, the competition is probably better than what you've played. That makes me think we got to get it. We got to get this thing in the right direction, and I don't think we can. You can afford to take players out this week and rest for the first game, because if you do that, what happens this week? I mean, if you happen to take a loss to this game, whew.
Well, what's the mental state of the team and the players?
That's what I'm saying. We need a win. We need a win,
desperately,
period.
Yes.
And I think you have to, no holds barred, all hands on deck, get it done. Now, if we get up to an early lead, then give those kids a little bit of a break.
I will say this, too, as far as over the last couple of seasons, really, the record has not been indicative of the talent on the field.
No. And it's still not.
It's still not. But, again, over the last several years, they continue to hurt themselves. You have to play clean ball, no penalties, no mistakes. And at that point, you give yourself a chance. It's those penalties, mistakes that are occurring that are costing you those wins, and that's unfortunate. Again, I'm probably more concerned about the mental state of the players. Are they starting to get frustrated? Are you starting to get mad? Well, if you're going to use it in a positive way, right?
Get mad.
I'm not going to take this anymore. I'm going to come out Friday night against Fairview, and not necessarily going to punch them in the face, but at the same time, I've got to be more aggressive, but I have to be smart and disciplined in order to do that.
Again, there's a fine line.
Yeah.
Football is the game where if you lose, I guess, control, then you will commit more of the penalties.
Right.
So you have to have, like, harnessed aggression.
That's exactly right.
I mean,
yes.
You have to just – it has to be so disciplined. And every coach I've ever talked to tells me the same thing. Look, I want them to be fired up, but you don't want to get them to the point to where they are so fired up they make mistakes. And to me, you know, when you get back and you watch a really good college team or you watch a really good pro team, these are teams that are really disciplined, and they just don't shoot themselves in the foot. They don't make those mistakes. And if you want to be a good high school team, the first thing you got to do is be disciplined, take care of what you got to take care of, and you don't make those little mistakes.
And that means coming off the line if you're a lineman. And guess what? That guy that's across from me, whatever my lane is that I'm pulling or whatever, when I'm coming off the line, you're going down, right? It's exactly right, because it's only lasting 5 seconds anyway. I've got 5 seconds come off the line to push you out of the way, and that's what I'm doing down in, down out, right?
Yeah. I mean,
being consistent.
And that being said, you know, last week we had a couple of kids have concussions.
Injuries.
I know one won't be back. Probably for a little while with a concussion. The other one may have had a mild concussion, but also had a broken wrist. But they've cleared him to play. And then you've got the two ankle injuries with the quarterback and Preston Spangler. Aiden Larson and Spangler, those two kids have injuries. And we're talking about some key players are out or injured for the Pirates going forward. And we're not even – sometimes you don't even see the injuries that are out there that you don't know.
Yeah, sure, right.
So it's been a tough 3 or 4 weeks for us. It's going to be a tough road to hoe as we go forward, but we got to just clean some things up and figure some things out, see who we are as a team, and go forward from there.
So they will play host to Fairview again homecoming night on Friday against Fairview, and then on the road on the 29th at McGoffin County. At home on October the 6th against Estill, at home against Lawrence County on the 13th, and then away at Belfry on the 20th, and then at home on the 27th against Betsy Lane. So a busy schedule for the Pirates.
Yeah, and then we're going to take a break here. We'll come back and talk volleyball before we have to break for the volleyball game. Back in a moment here on PCSN Live.
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton, proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Your Stanton Dairy Queen Grill and Chill is the stop on the way to the game. Double cheeseburgers, chicken baskets, blizzards, sundaes, and so much more. Cold ale late on tap. The legendary biscuits and gravy served all day, and ice cream cakes for any occasion or just for dessert. Open Monday through Thursday, 5:30 in the morning to 10 p.m., Friday and Saturday, 5:30 a.m. to 11 at night, and on Sundays, 7 to 10. That's your Stanton Dairy Queen Grill and Chill. Fan food, not fast food.
Stanton DQ is looking for smiling faces to join their team. Apply in person today.
All right, time to talk Lady Pirate volleyball, and we'll do that briefly. Sorry, I got carried away earlier. It's my fault. So we'll talk about Powell County volleyball. They're in action tonight, which we will have on the air here in about 10 minutes or so, depending on where we are in the broadcast. Ken's trying to figure that out on the NFHS streaming.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's buffering, but nonetheless, the Pirates, Lady Pirates, play host to Wolf County. Ended up losing to Wolf County early on in the season, and had a tough loss against Estill on Monday night.
This ain't easier.
No, you're exactly right. Lady Pirates are 5-11 on the season. I'm trying to look and see the Wolf County. What I know that Wolf ended up winning 3-0, 25-13, 25-14, 25-9. That was all the way back on the 23rd, so that, almost a month.
That is dominant. That is not even close. Those matches aren't.
You're right. So the Lady Pirates have actually lost two in a row. They lost to Madison Southern in two sets. We had that game for you as well. Lost in two sets, 25-21, 25-16. And then against Estill, they lose 3-2. Goes all the way to the fifth set. And
got behind early.
And then took an 8-2 lead.
In the fifth set.
Or 7-2 lead. And then at that point, controversial call. Momentum shifted, and at that point, Estill came back and took the lead.
Jazz did get the picture.
It was in. It was in. Again, nothing against the official who made the call, but I'm kind of surprised that he didn't stick with the original.
With the line judge going with.
Who'd done an outstanding job all night. Night long. And I think that was part of the problem with that line judge, saying, I've done this for five matches now, and also, now you're questioning me, and you're going to overrule me when I was brought on there. And if you actually look at the picture, she literally, her eyes are down the line, paying attention.
Paying attention.
Yeah, paying attention.
We've seen a couple not pay attention, but this one was. And I don't blame her for what she did. She handed her flag out and said, I'm done. And I understand the official a little bit, but that ball wasn't that close. If it were in by or out by 2 feet, okay, yeah, then you make that change. But if it's close, you go with your people on the floor.
Well, we each thought that it was in. Mark Christensen joined us up there. He thought it was in. And then if the line judge thinks it in, I'm thinking, okay, wait a minute. All four of us can't be wrong. It's one thing. You and I sometimes disagree. Oh, you thought it was in. I thought it was out. No matter what the sport may be. You know, at that point, I'd be like, oh, okay, well, could have gone either way.
We were pretty sure that ball was clearly in. But it did. I think.
Change the momentum
everything. I do think it probably cost them the loss. But we can't get down early in those matches. We got to play better early. We just haven't come out of the locker room after warm-ups good enough. We got to do better than what we've been doing on the opening set. We just haven't played well in that opening set. So, to me, we've got to change something up early. I don't know what that would be, but, again, we got to change something. And the record, I got to keep reminding myself, this is a really young team. But there are some really good seniors on this team, too. But they're still really, really young.
That they are. And when we had them in the studio early on, right about when the season was starting, realizing next year for them, probably a little bit better by that same time, but you still have to perform this year in order to prepare. Because if other teams come up against you, guess what? They're not going to be afraid of you next year. I don't care what you have next year. I beat you this year, so guess what? I have the momentum on my side, and next year I'm going to be confident enough, regardless who's on your team, that I'm going to win.
Well, you're going to play most of the same kids, because when you look at the rosters, everybody's a little young, and nobody is really heavy in seniors.
True.
So this is a sport where we have to play better than what we are. I know we're in a little bit of a transition to change styles. I totally get that, and I totally understand it. But the process is probably taking a little bit longer than maybe it should. There's some talented kids that right now are just not being as productive as they should be.
Well, we mentioned this even Monday night. Serving has not been what it has been in the past.
In the past, you're right.
And not only that, but we don't necessarily hear the communication kind of like we have in the past as well. So I feel like those two things kind of playing factors. Right.
And also you're playing I'm not knocking Emily Lawson. She's trying to play front row set from any place on the floor. And that's sometimes difficult to do. I mean, to me, I almost wish you had a two setters. You got front row and she's back row. Somebody, she's front row, they're back row. You got two really good passers, two really good setters on each line. I'm not saying it makes a difference. Emily does a great job in what she does.
Yes.
But sometimes I think it's a lot of work for her to get in the right position to make the good sets to the right people. And it seems like it opens up a spot on the floor, maybe the rotation going back. I may be overthinking some things here, but the coaches know what they're doing, and I'm just kind of thinking in my head what
we're just trying to analyze
like.
It, right? Yeah, we're just trying to analyze it.
Again, when you're losing, everybody wants to be a coach, so try to figure things out for you. So
the Lady Pirates, again, will be on the air here shortly playing host to Wolf County. And then this weekend, we talked about the soccer, girls volleyball, the Ken Jones Classic. They have a start time scheduled for 9 a.m. as Robertson County will be coming in. I'm not sure who the other teams are. And then going into next week, the 26th, 27th, the Lady Pirates playing host to Owsley County and then traveling on the road to Lee County. So some big district games coming up.
Yeah, so just stay tuned to the soccer, the volleyball team. Again, come out tonight and support them. And then on Saturday, especially for the Ken Jones Classic, that just means that pressure's on Jazz because you better step up when you play that thing. So that being said, Ken's going to step away. It's already past 7 o'clock, so we'll run some breaks here, and we'll see you next week here on PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
You deserve a bank that truly values you. At People's Exchange Bank, they pride themselves on providing personalized service that other banks just can't match. Whether you're needing a checking account, a home loan, or financial advice, our team of local professionals have you covered. Visit 53 East Pendleton Street in Stanton or visit them online at pebank.com. Join their family of satisfied customers today and experience the hometown difference at People's Exchange Bank, where banking is about you. People's Exchange Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Ace Hardware, East College Avenue, Stanton, want to wish the best for your Powell County Pirates at their sporting events, in their academics, at home, or wherever life takes them. Next time you need an item for your lawn or garden, building needs, small or large project, plumbing, electrical, tools, including Craftsman, DeWalt, Husqvarna, and so much more. Remember your Ace Hardware, right here in Stanton, East College Avenue, Ace, the helpful place.
At Wells Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. One such opportunity is the funeral or memorial service. Such a loving event celebrates the choices they made, the relationship you shared, and honors the memory of your loved one. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event. Contact us today to discuss the possibilities. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
Pickup Country 104.9, serving Mount Sterling, Frenchburg, Colby, Berea, Clay City, Barnes Mountain, Heidelberg, and Traveler's Rest. Thanks for listening local and around the world at WSKVFM.com.
I'm broke.